everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the title will explain everything for you. This is a podcast that talks about animation. Pretty surprising, huh? But specifically, it'll talk about the latest news that happened this week. So, for today's episode, we will start things off by looking into an all-new animated feature that will be brought to us by Adam Sandler. Then afterwards, probably the biggest story of this podcast, well, not of the entire podcast, but at least for this episode, I'll be talking about the teaser trailer of the live-action Beauty and the Beast film. Then we will look into the crossover of Teen Titans Go and Powerpuff Girls. Then we will be looking at the brand new Japanese film that now holds the title for the biggest opening for one. And then finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Okay, so now we got that done. Let's start things off with our first story right here. Now we got a brand new animated feature. This is going to be a brand new contender. Now, STX Entertainment will be entering upon the animation industry. They didn't do anything now. They didn't release anything. So how they're going to be is going to be a bit questionable. We'll just have to wait and see how things go. Previously, they did announce they want to make an animated feature based on the plush toys of Ugly Doll. But now they got another one on the line. We don't know what it is just yet, but we know who's going to work on it, and it is Adam Sandler. Now, the thing is that Adam Sandler has joined in with STX because one of the co-founders, Bob Simmons, he previously worked with Adam Sandler beforehand. He helped him out with movies like The Wedding Singer, Big Daddy, The Waterboy, and Happy Gilmore, so it was easy for Sandler to come in and go into this. And now Adam Sandler wants to go and make another animated feature for that company. But not only that, he's not just going to be the executive producer like he previously does with all his other movies, but he will also be the writer and he will star in the film. So it's very much like what he just did not too long ago with Hotel Transylvania 2. Now, going into the quote here, by the way, I'm taking this from Cartoon Brew. Apparently, Adam Fogelson, the chairman of STX Entertainment Motion Pictures Group, which beforehand, he was the chairman at Universal Pictures, and he worked with Illumination Entertainment for the Despicable Me films and also Minions. And he said, as we continue to grow our company, the family arena is of critical importance to STX Entertainment, and we are tremendously excited to have Adam Sandler and Happy Madison developing projects with us for the global animation market. Happy Madison is one of the most consistently successful and talented producers of family entertainment working in business today. They have steadily been building this brand in this arena for years with the incredible success of the Hotel Transylvania animated franchise. Adam already has some wonderful ideas and about what he wants to develop with us. Okay, so first of all, let me just get this out of the way. Talented? That's a little bit debatable. Family entertainment? That is very debatable when we're talking about Happy Madison films. Because my god, I don't know which ones you're specifically aiming at, but I'm just gonna say, not a lot of them are kid-friendly. Those aren't really family entertainment. Not all of them are bedtime stories and Hotel Transylvania. Now, I will say this, however, the reason why I'm using this Cartoon Brew article to discuss about this is that the one who wrote this, Amity, he actually brought up a very interesting point that apparently, in terms of the animation community, there is a giant debate regarding the success of Hotel Transylvania. Like, really, why is it really successful? Or who's responsible for the success? A lot of people are either debating if it's either Adam Sandler or Jenny Tartakovsky responsible for making Hotel Transylvania what it is today. Not necessarily critically successful, and even with the audience, it's either people either love it or hate it, but it does make a lot of money at the box office, and that's kind of the important thing. So who would be responsible for this? Is it Adam Sandler or Jenny Tartakovsky? And if I could be very honest, at least with me, I'm going with the side of Adam Sandler, because when you look at the Hotel Transylvania films, it hits so many marks that it's almost, it's practically one step away from having the Happy Madison banner, because there are a lot of tropes that do come, like, with any other Adam Sandler film. Like, of course, we got Adam Sandler being the big boss of the entire film, plus the fact that he is the star, not to mention that Dracula himself looks like Adam Sandler. He also brought in his friends, like he brought a lot of his usual co-stars. Steve Buscemi would often appear in there. David Spade, since Spade is already with Sandler in the upcoming do-overs. Kevin James, of course, and Andy Samberg technically counts as well. And many other people who previously worked with Adam Sandler, they would go back and work on Hotel Transylvania. Now, often, like, there could be a few miscellaneous people like Selena Gomez and also Mel Brooks, but you kind of get the idea. And also the fact that the type of genre this movie is. Number one, it's bad. Okay, no, that's just a little joke there, maybe. But no, but the fact that it's a comedy, and also, what else? Well, it's mostly about, you know, how Adam Sandler is mostly the head honcho, and that he needs to go learn something about himself. That's mostly the important thing, considering that Hotel Transylvania is very much about Dracula learning more about himself and, you know, accepting the situation that's currently going on that includes him. So that, like, as a movie, it's very much like an Adam Sandler film. And there is another reason why I would like to say this is an Adam Sandler film, and this is actually regarding those who say that it's a, like, the reason why Hotel Transylvania is a huge success because of Jenny Tartakovsky. Now, the biggest reason, people who say it's Jenny Tartakovsky's, it's because of Jenny Tartakovsky for the success, they don't want to admit this, but this is pretty much the number one reason why they would not say it's Adam Sandler who's responsible for the success, and it's because those people do not want to admit that they like a recent Adam Sandler film. Not an Adam Sandler film in general, that's fine, like, because there are a lot of people out there who would like at least one Adam Sandler film, but people do not, like, those people just don't want to admit that they like a recent Adam Sandler film. And the reason for that is because nowadays, hating on Adam Sandler is kind of like a trend. Like, it's one of those things like Justin Bieber or Internet Explorer where you're pretty much not considered one of the cool kids if you don't hate Adam Sandler and his movies. Because, yeah, it is true that a lot of his movies suck. That, you know, recently, like, Jack and Jill, Pixels, The Ridiculous Six, Blended, and all that kind of stuff, they are often hated by both the audience and the critics. So, of course, Adam Sandler is pretty much built a pretty bad reputation for himself in terms of making movies in general. Now, if someone would go and say that Adam, like, they like this Adam Sandler film, like, they'll look at you funny. A lot of people don't want to admit it. And in fact, I've seen a lot of people always saying that Hotel Transylvania is the exception because it's animated. That doesn't necessarily count. That's freaking bullcrap. And let me tell you why. If you're able to easily count 8 Crazy Nights as an Adam Sandler movie, then you can easily count the Hotel Transylvania movies as an Adam Sandler movie. And you know, like, they just don't want to, and that's basically the whole thing, is that they just don't want to admit they like something from a guy that usually makes movies that everybody hates. And the thing is that the reason why I say this, now, I'm not saying that liking a recent Adam Sandler film is a bad thing. It's those people that make it a bad thing. it shouldn't be that big of a deal. If you say you like Hotel Transylvania, it should not be different from saying that you like stuff like Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, 51st Dates, The Longest Yards, or something like that. If you like it, that's fine. Just don't hide the fact of what it actually is. Hotel Transylvania is an Adam Sandler film, rather you like it or not. And I don't mean the movie itself, but I mean rather if you like accepting the fact that it is an Adam Sandler film. That's what I meant. And besides, Hotel Transylvania has been called a lot worse. It's been called, like, much worse things than an Adam Sandler film. It's been called a Sony Pictures animation film, for God's sakes. So, calling it an Adam Sandler film is not that bad. And also, another thing is that they could have easily done Hotel Transylvania without Jendy Tartakovsky. I mean, the movie went through a total of, I believe, like 5 or 6 directors before settling with Tartakovsky. And I would say that 80 to 90% of what we've seen with the Hotel Transylvania films is because of Adam Sandler. They could have easily done Hotel Transylvania, even as it is right now, they could have easily done it without Jendy Tartakovsky. His responsibility with the film is not really as big as you think. It's mostly Adam Sandler, the head honcho. But anyways, that's pretty much the whole spiel with Hotel Transylvania. Going back into the news with the new movie, I can already tell, I've seen a lot of comments from people saying that they are not excited. And this is another thing that, this is another factor that I mentioned, how everybody hates Adam Sandler. Like, it's kind of a trend. And, like, nobody's excited for this. People are still booing at him. They should say to stop making movies. Like, okay, calm down, guys. Just give Adam Sandler a chance. Like, even I'll admit that, okay, I'm not a fan of the Hotel Transylvania films, but even I'll admit that it's definitely better than any of his other films that he has released recently. I'll take Hotel Transylvania over stuff like Jack and Jill and That's My Boy any day of the frickin' week. But, you know, like, just because he's now working on another film, like, on another animated film, and that, you know, like, it doesn't have any big names attached to it, or this is from a new studio that we don't know how it's going to go. Well, like, let me just say, let's just wait and see how it goes. Because, I don't hate Adam Sandler, the person. You know, I'm never going to say, like, I can easily say things like, I hate Jack and Jill, I hate That's My Boy. But I'm not going to say, I hate Adam Sandler, you know? Plus the fact that I keep hearing all the time, he's one of the nicest guys out there. So, but and even with this movie, like, we don't know what it is. Like, we don't have an idea of what the plot is. We don't know how the animation style is going to be. We just don't know anything. All we know is that Adam Sandler is going to write, he's going to star, and he's going to be the big boss of it. Let's just wait and see how it goes. Maybe it'll come out of a crap. Maybe it'll come out decent. You never know. I mean, The Angry Birds has been released not too long ago. And yeah, the concept of an Angry Birds movie is what's holding it down from being, like, anything better than good, but at least we know that the people who worked on that film, at least they managed to make the best they can out of it. And it could be the same thing with this, so let's just wait and see how things go, and, before we can call out on Adam Sandler making another crap, let's just wait and see what this movie will become. Okay, so our next story is going to be the biggest story of this episode. Now, this is something that just completely went viral, and if this were released 2 years ago, nobody would be excited, nobody would be happy about this, but nowadays, like, this is one of the most exciting trailers to ever be seen, and this is not going to be coming out for another 10 months. And I am, of course, talking about the live-action Beauty and the Beast trailer that's coming out in 2017, and of course, this is entirely based on the 1991 animated masterpiece of the same name. Now, looking into the trailer itself, it really did not reveal it didn't really reveal a lot. All we see so far is just the castle. We see just a little glimpse of Emma Watson as Belle. We see the rose. And yeah, like we mostly just got a tour of the castle. And we hear a bit of Ewan McGregor and Ian McKellen as Lumiere and Cogsworth. And that's pretty much it. And also we get the soundtrack. Now, if I could be very honest with you guys, this could be a little bit controversial, but I'm going to be honest, even after watching this trailer, I'm not necessarily as excited as others. I am intrigued to see how this will go, but I'm not really excited. Like, I'm not anticipating this to be a great film, to be very honest. And let me explain. Like, let me explain a bit of my standpoint. Now, when it comes to the other live-action remakes that Disney has done, rather it be stuff like Alice in Wonderland, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, and The Jungle Book, when we look at the animated classics that they were based on, we can look at them and say, okay, yeah, there is room, like, there's always room for improvement, but we love them the same. They're animated classics. They're brought to us by, they're brought to us by Walt Disney himself. We love them no matter what. And, you know, like, we'll accept the fact that there still can be room for improvement. Now, some of them ended up pretty crappy, like Alice in Wonderland and Maleficent, but some actually came out pretty good, like Cinderella, and recently The Jungle Book was an immediate smash hit, and even I was impressed by it. Like, even I loved it. It's mostly because of how good Cinderella and The Jungle Book is what brings in more enthusiasm, and maybe there's a lot more promise to these live-action remakes, and why we're getting, like, why people are so excited with Beauty and the Beast. However, when it comes to Beauty and the Beast, on the other hand, that thing is almost flawless. We're not talking about one of the best Disney films ever made. We're not even talking about one of the best animated films ever made. This is, like, one of the most important animated features, and one of the best movies, period. Like, no joke. Keep in mind, we are talking about the first ever animated feature in existence to be nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars. It is almost flawless. In fact, when I made my top 10 personal favorite animated films by Disney, I put Beauty and the Beast at number 2. It is that amazing. I'm not the kind of guy who really likes love stories, but this is a true tale as old as time. This really caught my heart. This is amazing. I love it no matter what. So when I see that they're going to remake Beauty and the Beast, I feel like this is kind of a fool's errand. Like, what's the point of remaking Beauty and the Beast when you know for a fact it's not going to trump over the animated masterpiece that that we got with the 1991 version? And, honestly, one of the biggest issues that I have so far after watching this trailer is honestly the cast. Okay, like, number one, we got, the cast that we got so far, like, from the three actors that we have presented in this teaser trailer. Like, number one, with Ian McKellen, we could definitely tell the one with the lower voice, that is Cogsworth. That's, like, with his cynical tone, that's easily hands down Cogsworth, but it's kind of weird how his voice feels so low. It almost sounds like Tony Jay. It's like, yes, I can see it, you fool. So when are we taking the girl to the asylum? and then we have Ewan, and then there's also Ewan McGregor, which ever since I heard that Ewan McGregor would be the voice of Lumiere in this remake, I just couldn't imagine it. Like, I can't really hear him trying to do Jerry Orbach in this. And even in this, it sounds phony. For me, Ewan McGregor just sounds nothing but phony. Like, even when he's just there, like, what if she is the one? It's like, no, dude. I'm just there, like, no, dude, just no. And honestly, like, if this is going to be the singer of the new Be Our Guest, I don't know, really. Okay, and, oh, fudge nabbit, this is going to be the part that, this is going to be the part where everybody's going to hate me, but, you know, I'm going to be honest, I'm not really that much of a fan of Emma Watson as Belle. Now, don't get me wrong, guys. Now, I'm not saying that I hate Emma Watson. I'm not saying that at all. She's a fantastic actress. She's beautiful as hell. And you could definitely tell, like, there are way too many examples to list of how she is as intelligent as she is beautiful. Definitely got the looks and has the brains that match with it. Absolutely. But the thing is that when I see this, I don't, like, my problem with it is that when I see her here, I don't see Belle. And that's kind of my problem. Like, I understand that, let me explain the reason. Is because, like, when you see Emma Watson trying to reach that rose and you see her eyes, I don't think to myself, oh my god, that's Belle. I just think to myself, oh, that's Emma Watson. Now, I understand that some people would say that, well, okay, it's mostly because she's a big name and she's a very, very recognizable person. And, they did the same thing with The Jungle Book. Well, keep in mind, all the A-list celebrities that they use, they're nothing but voices, you know? The only live-action actor that they have very prominently is just the new kid that played Mowgli. And it's easily to make the illusion that this kid is Mowgli. Like, we don't really recognize the kid, so it doesn't delusion us the fact that it's Mowgli. But with the A-list celebrities, the fact that they're just voices, it makes it easier to believe that Bill Murray is Baloo, or that Ben Kingsley is Bagheera, or that Idris Elba is Shere Khan, or that Christopher Walken is King Louie. That's kind of easy. Okay, well, maybe with the exception of Christopher Walken as King Louie a bit. Like, it does work a bit, but then it has too much of the Christopher Walkenisms that you end up still seeing the person just as a giant ape. But the fact that we see Emma Watson here, and also one of the things that I'm not as impressed is that she's not doing her, like, she's still keeping her British accent, and it's not like in the animated film where, like, everybody who is a person and the beast uses an American accent. It's just that, like, she's using her British accent. It really does delusion the fact that I'm not seeing Belle. I'm just seeing Emma Watson. And what's even worse is that when I do think more about it, the more that I think that maybe it's not a great idea to have Emma Watson as Belle. Like, a lot of people can argue, oh, but Emma Watson looks like Belle. Yeah, but, like, Emma Watson is easily recognizable. That's the thing. And plus the fact that Belle is a bookworm, it's not going to be in Emma Watson's favor, because now we're just seeing Beauty and the Beast starring Hermione Granger. But keep in mind, though, I don't have just bad things to say about it. Now, of course, there are some great things to say as well. For starters, the movie looks phenomenal. Oh, sorry about that, guys. Sorry, just a little cough attack. But yeah, for starters, like, the castle, the visuals, of course, like most of the other Disney live action reboots, like, the visuals are phenomenal. What we see inside the castle, it looks fantastic. Like, it does capture that gothic style that's also very prominently shown in Beauty and the Beast. So at least they got the backgrounds right. It doesn't necessarily look exactly like in the animated film, but, you know, they got a bit of the tone right, and the castle does look reminiscent to the one in the animated film. So at least I'll give it that. That and also the soundtrack. The soundtrack is probably the best thing that came out of this trailer. Like, we got pretty much the prologue, like the intro that we hear, that we also hear in the opening of the animated feature, like, we got that. That is awesome. That I truly love. So that one was great. And I, like, honestly, I would love to get that soundtrack, to get that prologue from this reboot already. That's already great. And then also, as well as many other people, it definitely tugged my heartstrings when you hear that small little riff of Beauty and the Beast on the piano, like, doon, 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 doon. Like, that was definitely great. And, but yeah, like, those are probably the best things about this trailer. Like, I can already say that is phenomenal, both the soundtrack and the visuals. Like, they did a phenomenal job with it. What I will say, however, is that will this be enough for me to judge if this movie is going to be worth watching or not? Absolutely not. Because keep in mind, this is just, like, I can't really say as of now if this is going to be a trailer, if this is going to be a movie that is going to be worthwhile watching. Because keep in mind, this is just a teaser trailer. The movie is not going to be coming out for another 10 months, for almost a year even. So, like, we barely got anything. And plus the fact, they didn't show a lot. Like I said, the only thing that they showed here is just the castle. And that's it. We don't see how the objects come to life. We don't we only hear Lumiere and Cogsworth. We don't actually see them. And most importantly, the one thing that people are excited the most about, and the one thing that's piquing everybody's curiosity, is the Beast. How are they going to make the Beast? Because the Beast is one of the best designed characters in a Disney animated feature, or even for an animated film ever. So how are they going to take Glenn Keane's design of the Beast and turn that into a realistic looking Beast in this live action remake? So I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe it's going to look a bit like how we see at the Disney parks, but you never know. You honestly never know. So we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. And, yeah, so that's pretty much my entire thoughts on this trailer. So if you guys are excited to go see it, the movie will be coming out on March 17th, 2017. Okay, so when it comes to our next story, I heard about this a long time ago, but I really wasn't sure. I found this on Facebook, and I felt like it doesn't feel as official enough for me to talk about this. As much as I would love to talk about it, it doesn't really feel legit. It feels like some kind of fan-made thing to just, you know, make the internet rage and stuff. But now it seems like it's officially happening. This feels a lot more legit. I got my source here from USA Today, and they have officially announced this is actually going on, is that Cartoon Network is going to make a crossover with the recent reboot of the Powerpuff Girls and Teen Titans Go. So, taking a quote here from the executive producer of Powerpuff Girls, Nick Jennings, he says, Jump City will never be the same again when our little superheroes, Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup, meet up with the Teen Titans for the very first time. When these two worlds of superheroes collide, it will surely be something to remember. Now, in terms of the plot, it says here from USA Today, the Crossover Titans episode features the girls' arch enemy Mojo Jojo up to no good in the Titans town, and the Powerpuff Girls trio team up with their fellow squad to take the villainous monkey down. According to Teen Titans Go producer, Titans members Cyborg and Beast Boy find Mojo Jojo to be pretty cool for a talking monkey. The girls compete with Raven, Starfire, and Robin to see which superhero team is better, and there is a catchy song called Monkey Army that's bound to get stuck in fans' heads. Whether it be a good way or a bad way, I don't know. By the way, I added that last part myself. So, yeah, in terms of its release date, okay, well, actually, the release date, I'll save that for the end. But yeah, when I first heard about this, there's only one thing that kind of crossed my mind. Cartoon Network must really hate people. Because that's kind of the big thing, is that so far, I've only heard bad things about Teen Titans Go and the Powerpuff Girls. Much like what I said about Adam Sandler, Teen Titans Go and recently the Powerpuff Girls reboot is one of those things that if you want to be a part of the cool kids, you have to hate those shows. You have to hate Teen Titans Go, and you have to hate the Powerpuff Girls reboot. You know, honestly, at first, I thought it was, you know, at first I thought I heard good things, because the first time, like, honestly, the first time that I've heard any sort of reception was actually when James came in as a special guest on the animation podcast, and he told me that he saw some episodes and he thought it was decent. So, okay, I'll take his word for it. But then I see this tremendous amount of hate. And then I also saw there was this viral video going on. I don't know who made it, but I do applaud the guy. He actually made this viral video showing this little clip of the Powerpuff Girls reboot where it's trying to really be trendy. Like, it's trying to be really cool. Like, we see them twerking and they would use expressions like, I can't even, and all that kind of stuff. And then you see the guy just coming out, like, using a green screen. He would come out with this giant clock. It's like, it's time to stop! Please! It's time to stop! Honestly, I thought it was pretty funny, but yeah, like, basically the whole point is that what they're doing with the Powerpuff Girls, it's almost as if Sony Pictures Animation was actually making it. On top of, well, actually, this also comes with the poor quality animation, because that is another notorious thing right now that the Powerpuff Girls reboot has, is that apparently the animation is just really of poor quality. They're just doing things that really make no sense, like, when you see their heads on the side, it just looks weird. It looks like they have one eye. And then there's another one where we see Mojo Jojo and a dog. They're just talking. Well, Mojo Jojo was talking. And then suddenly, you see the leash of the dog just suddenly vanish. So yeah, basically, it's a lot like if Sony Pictures Animation made this Powerpuff Girls reboot. Both in terms of the quality of the writing and also the quality of the animation. Now, honestly, when it comes to Teen Titans Go, I've never seen a single episode of either of these shows, but yeah, all I've heard is just nothing but bad things and how everybody says that it's bad. I remember there was at one point that I did see this, I saw a little clip of Teen Titans Go, and honestly, I was a bit turned off by it because it felt like it was trying a little too hard to be meta. Like, they knew very well about the criticisms that they got, and they want to try to poke fun with it, but it just really ends up falling flat in their face. They're, like, literally, like, they want to be like the Muppets and Deadpool, but they forgot to also be funny while breaking the fourth wall. And, thinking about that, they want to do a crossover with this, honestly, I don't understand why. Like, I would understand very well if Cartoon Network wants to do a crossover with Adventure Time with Steven Universe, because those are both beloved shows, and that will certainly get a lot of attention, and people will love Cartoon Network for it, but, like, Teen Titans Go and Powerpuff Girls, it's just that I understand the connections. They're both super, they're actually both animated reboots of superhero shows, but I don't understand, like, considering the reception of both, I don't understand why we need this. And that's kind of my question that I have with all this, is that if very few people like this, why even do it in the first place? That's kind of my question. And honestly, and especially the fact that with the reception that's been going on with both the Powerpuff Girls reboot and Teen Titans Go, I'm really surprised that the show is still going on. Like, yeah, a lot of people say really bad things about it, but it's still going for some reason. I mean, they just, like, Uncle Grandpa is another show that doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily good, but it doesn't really get as bad as a reputation as Teen Titans Go, yet that somehow got canceled, and Teen Titans Go is still going. That I really don't understand. Honestly, I don't understand Cartoon Network's point on this. But then again, I specialize a lot more in animated features, and a part of me is kind of glad that I don't really, focus myself into animated TV shows. I'll just leave Mr. Enter and Pan Pizza to do that kind of job, because it looks a lot more like a mess that they have to deal with. Let me just stick with my animated features. Technically, you can also count Chad from Looney Tunes in there in terms of, like, working on series, but I don't want to get, the guy is too, he's too nice and he's too cool to work on, to look into something that's as bad as the Powerpuff Girls reboot or Teen Titans Go. Like, I just want to give him the good stuff, he seems happy with what he had with Gravity Falls, so I only wish him the best. Anyways, so if you guys for some reason are interested to see this big crossover. Apparently, it's going to be a two-part episode that will air on Monday. I guess it's, I guess they meant the Monday coming up. And apparently, yes. Oh, okay, so it's going to be on Memorial Day, starting with the Powerpuff Girls at 6 p.m., and then afterward, oh wait, is it? Oh, wait a minute. Also, oh wait, no. Okay, did they ever, wait a minute. Oh, hold on a sec. Okay, never mind. Okay, so the crossover, okay, because at the end it mentioned there's a special like Memorial Day thing, but no, that's a completely different thing altogether. So, if you guys are excited, or you want to go see this crossover, it's going to be coming out this June. So, for our next story, we got a bit of an interesting story. Now, we're going to be going into Japan, where apparently a brand new record is going to be set, and this time is going to be with One Piece. Now, with the announcement of One Piece film Gold, which is apparently the 12th One Piece movie that will be coming out, they have officially set a brand new record in Japan, or a brand new record for Japanese films entirely, where it's going to have the biggest opening ever. And this is just in one country, where it's going to open in a total of 743 screens. This has previously broken the record of Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F, where it opened into a total of 653 screens. Going into my source here from Anime News Network, it says here, this year's 24th issue on Suesha's Weekly Shonen Jump magazine has announced that on May 16th that the film would get screenings in 3D, 4DX, and MX4D, and the regular 2D screenings. Okay, so we know about 2D and 3D, but what the fridge is 4D and MX4D? Well, let me tell you, like the 4D stuff, you're pretty much going into theme park levels. No joke. It says here, with the 4D or MX4D systems, certain theaters have motion seats that move in sync with certain action sequences on screen. Similarly, effects such as scents and wind will operate in accordance with actions on screen. So, yeah, literally, it's a theme park ride. This is, like, no different than what you would get with something like Shrek 4D or Muppet Vision 3D or Terminator 2 3D. It's a lot like, or It's Tough to Be a Bug. So it's basically, MX4D and 4DX is basically watching a movie in a theme park ride. They have also simultaneously announced at the same time that what they're going, that what One Piece is going to do is that they will officially announce, they will announce on Friday, they will release the 11 previous One Piece films in, they'll pretty much go and stream them online. These will include Fuji TV On Demand, DTV, GEO Channel, GYAO, and Hulu starting June 1st. At the same time, they have also announced that if you are going to be in Japan during this time, that the first 5 million people who are going to go see One Piece film Gold, they will receive a copy of Volume 777, which I guess is, that's the number of the manga for the next One Piece film. But at the same time, the first 2 million filmgoers will actually receive a bonus item that has yet to be revealed. And it has also been stated that the film will also screen with Chinese and English subtitles in 6 theaters across Japan from July 23rd all the way up to August 5th. Oh, and let me see here. I think that is something that I forgot. Did I forget to mention that? Okay. Oh, no. That's following up. Oh, I got a little bit ahead. Sorry about that. It also stated that a One Piece Heart of Gold 2-hour television special will air on July 16th, the week before One Piece Film Gold will be released, and its story will tie to One Piece Film Gold. So that's pretty much the prequel to go set up for what you'll get with this film. And you know, it's actually very interesting how, like, when it comes to movies based on anime, like, you could pretty much tell how the series are ridiculously huge when it comes to Japan. Like, they love their anime series so much to the point that no matter what, the movies will always get released in theaters. Like, you think it's ridiculous now that Pokemon is getting all these movies? They're still releasing them in theaters. And, like, even with stuff like Dragon Ball Z and One Piece Film Gold, like, with One Piece, they actually just stated that, One Piece Film Gold is going to be the 12th in all the One Piece films. And this doesn't even count with all the countless episodes that they have and the manga and stuff like that. So it's pretty crazy to think that, like, not only, like, do they love them so much that they would release them in theaters, but the fact that now they're releasing it in more theaters than they ever would in Japan, that's pretty crazy. You could tell, like, this is massive devotion. And I understand with the Dragon Ball movies, they, like, in recently with stuff like Resurrection F, they would release them for a limited time in North America, but I haven't seen them do that yet with One Piece film the One Piece films. But if they're going to do the same thing in terms of the North American release, that I don't know. But yeah, it's actually pretty crazy to think that, like, I can imagine eventually, like, maybe a Dragon Ball Z film or a One Piece film or a Pokemon film might actually get released in 1,000, like, one day it'll actually get released in a total of 1,000 theaters in Japan alone. Like, that would not be hard to imagine. But anyways, for those of you who are in Japan, or if you're going in Japan and if you're excited to go see One Piece Film Gold in theaters, either in 2D, 3D, or in theme park theaters, then all you have to do is just wait until July 23rd for the movie to be released. And now we shall end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. Now, there have been plenty of interesting stories in animation this week. There have been a lot of them. Some of them are rumors. But the reason why I chose this one, originally this was a top story, but I decided to save this one for Matt's Pick of the Week, considering this is a subject that's more close to my heart. And what I am talking about, of course, is Garfield. And apparently, Garfield is going to get a second chance on the big screen because Alcon Entertainment has secured the rights to go and make an animated feature based on Garfield. Now, of course, we all know that there was that one time, or, well, two times, actually, that they released released a live-action film based on Garfield. And that seriously did not go well. And, like I'm using my source here in Variety, and for some reason they want to use a live-action Garfield from the sequel, even. From the sequel, and it's ridiculous. And, like, honestly, yeah, it just looks awful. And, you know, like, we remember that bit of travesty, but it looks like, I can already tell already that apparently the new animated film might have a lot more promise because of one little thing. They actually brought, okay, not only did they get the rights from the comic creator Jim Davis, but Jim Davis will also be working as the executive producer, so he'll have a bit more of a hands-on to go and work on this. In fact, the producers of this movie stated, Jim Davis' creation has been an international sensation for all ages for decades, and we are thrilled to bring an animated Garfield feature to the big screen. Is there anything else that's more interesting? Okay, yeah. Oh, here's another one, actually. Even Jim Davis himself has stated, I've been so impressed with the quality of animation and storytelling coming out of Hollywood as of late. I can't wait to get into production with the terrific team Alcon has assembled. Now, there has been a lot of... There does come a lot of questions with this. Number one, considering that it is from Alcon Entertainment, who are they going to bring in for the animation? Because it doesn't seem like, when it comes to Alcon, it doesn't sound like we know if they're going to bring in a major major animation studio with us. Like, we for sure, like, they're not really going to go and join with Disney. We don't know if they're going to be with Warner Brothers, or it could, I could actually imagine Warner Brothers or maybe even Universal, but I don't know what's going to be going on with that. So we don't know how it's going to be. Like, at this point, we only know the fact that an animated Garfield movie is happening and that Jim Davis will be attached to this project so far. And thinking about it now, like, I honestly don't know how a CG Garfield will become. Because that is another thing that is seriously doubtful. Now, honestly, when it comes to me and Garfield, like, I've grown to the past Garfield. I pretty much fell in love with Garfield up to the mid-2000s. But beforehand, I've read all the comics. I would often go to the site. Like, there was a time period when I would go daily to look at the new comic strip for Garfield, and what else? Oh, and also, like, I used to watch the Garfield and Friends TV show all the time. But then when Garfield jumped into computer animation, that's when I felt a bit turned off. Like, when you look at stuff, like, when you look at things like the new Garfield show or stuff like Garfield Gets Real, it feels like a bit of a turnoff. And honestly, when you have the Jim Davis Garfield style and put it into computer animation, it just, like, they're very faithful to it, but it just doesn't look appealing. It looks really weird. It's like they kept it more 3D than anything, and it just, there's just something that seems very off with it. I mean, even by computer, like, not just for computer animation, but even for television standards, there's just something about it that just seems very unappealing. Like, when they did it in 2D, it looks great. Like, it works out very well. Like, the Garfield and Friends looks great, but bring it to computer animation, I don't know. Now, how they're going to do this with the new movie? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, sorry about that. My God, I actually feel stupid. I just stared at my screen and then I realized it, like, there's a little thing that stated Alcon said its goal is to bring a franchise of a fully CG animated Garfield feature films. Alcon has a long-standing output deal through Warner Brothers. Okay, so basically Warner Animation Group is going to help out bringing maybe the Garfield animated films, if it's enough of a hit, you know, for us to have maybe more than one Garfield film. But yeah, as I was saying, if, like, how a big budget animated feature is going to bring Garfield to CG, that I don't know, because honestly, they gotta find that happy medium between the two CG Garfields that we already have. Something that looks right, something that can look appealing for the big screen. Not too real, like, something that's not too realistic because it'll end up looking ugly with the live action Garfield films, and not too cartoony where it looks cheap and it looks unappealing like we have with the recent Garfield shows. Like, we gotta find that happy medium where we can recognize that it's Garfield in a CG animated way. However, like I said before, we're only at the, like, this is only the very first step for Garfield to step into computer an animated feature. So we'll just have to wait and see how things will go with this Garfield movie. And chances are, I wouldn't be surprised if the first movie, at least, will be released in 2020. But either way, honestly, I would be enthusiastic to see this. Honestly, I can't wait to go back into Garfield, so we'll see how it goes. And that is all that I've got for this week, so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Anime505. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and go rate and review this episode? That would be wonderful. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next time, see you later, dudes!